Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Well, cool. Well, it's Healthy Gut Girl. This is stuff your doctor should know.
Yay.
And I'm coming to you live from deep inside your small intestine. Actually, we're in your large intestine today because there's a few of us, so we need more space. And we're actually talking about the large intestine today. Sort of. So, Tanisha and Emily, welcome back.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, so happy to be here with you girls. Everyone looks beautiful.
And you, look at you with your lipstick. I should have put on some lipstick. It is Friday after all.
You know, it just gives me an edge. I don't know. I just feel ready for anything when I've got my lips on, you know?
Yeah. I think Chanel said that, didn't she?
I think so. She said, you have to be, she's like, oh, be ready for destiny. And why wouldn't you want to look your best or something
true,
like that?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah. And that makes me want to put my lipstick on. Well, I want to thank you guys. I want to also just remind my listeners that these are my girls. These are my CBD girls, actually. We are all just a little team doing our CBD thing together. And yes. And if anyone's interested, what is your CBD website, Emily? Do you know that?
I do. So https://, it's mbiz1012. .biorains.com.
So as in E-M?
E-M-B-I-Z.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. B as in boy? B as in bowel movement?
Yes, B as in bowel movement.
As in movement. So bowel movement. Okay, say it one more time.
It's M-Biz, E-M-B-I-Z, 1012. .biorains.com.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So go there if you guys want to get in on any of the amazing things that we all partake of. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful products in the world, but something that brings us together, that unites us, one of the many things is just the efficacy of these products that we're using. And I'm so sad because my bathtub, I think I mentioned this last time, is like, it's like a big, huge, like foot bath. It's so sad. I get in and like my boobs are not in and like my knees are bent. So it's just like a quarter of my body is actually submerged.
I think we should get you a floaty tub and you can just sit in the front.
Well, guess what?
Have a good time.
Charlie actually found, because he's been begging me, not like he's got to beg me to do anything, but because it is my back sauna space and it's very small space. Mm-hmm. He's been like trying to convince me to get, one of these huge freezers, like a coffin style freezers, so that he can put a bunch of ice in it and do ice soaks after he gets out of the sauna and do like the hydrotherapy type of thing.
I just won't
allow it. I won't. I'm going to fight him on this because of the fact, well, now I don't have to anymore, because it just, the space back there, he's got a rower. We've got the sauna. We've got a place to sit. And the dog goes to the bathroom out there. What the hell? Like, I can't. So he found these round, honestly, I got to say, they look like condoms, but they look like gigantic, like huge, like a person can fit in it. It's just like this big round.
What?
And it's like a tub and it fits one person and it's like, it collapses, which is why it looks like a condom. Cause when it's collapsed, it just looks like a big rubber ring, like huge, like King Kong, huge.
Oh, what?
We're taking a turn. It is Friday. And so anyway, he got this tub and, now, you know, I can get in there with my bath bomb.
Oh, so good.
We go. Right?
So there we go.
It was my long way around a story, but.
Maybe for your anniversary, he can get you a clawfoot tub or something.
Like right.
Something fancy.
Yeah,
wait,
that would be
wait
nice.
A minute. That's, wait. That day.
Did you know that, Emily?
No.
Our anniversary is in like 2 days.
Oh my God. I literally just pulled that out of nowhere. Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's the 23rd today. The 26th is our anniversary.
Happy almost anniversary. Oh,
thank you.
That's hilarious.
I thought you maybe saw me post something, but I didn't post anything.
Wow. That's called synchronicity.
It is. It is. So that's what's going on. Oh yeah, the bath bombs. So talking about the CBD bath bombs, I still have not officially used it. I've used half of one in a foot bath, and I'm dying to use a whole one in a whole bath.
So, you know what's interesting? It's not, it's not bath bomb related. It's actually biodefense related, but with what we always talk about with spinal lockup, I had a spinal lockup for the past few days because I dislocated my shoulder.
Oh no.
And instead of using the older method on demand for like Tagamet, like what we use, you know, what we had done, or the other stuff that worked, I took 3 full droppers of Biodefense and it unlocked my whole neck in 10 minutes.
Wow. I was like,
oh my God, Tanisha.
Like, all right. This is okay. I hadn't done that before.
Yeah.
I hadn't had anything happen, but that was kind of crazy.
How is your shoulder now?
It's much better.
Oh my gosh.
But had to tell you that because it works.
Right. So I mean, I definitely love, I'm loving the Vital IQ. I think it's just the easiest way for me to get, you know, a multi in, and that for, I think that's the biggest part of any kind of nutritional protocol is just being consistent with it. Everything. Yeah, exactly. And that's my problem. And that's, I think, everybody's issue for the most part. Some people are like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And then they're great. Yeah. I just fall off the wagon after like, oh, I'm like, yeah. And I'll do like 7 days. And then like, oops, I forgot 4 days. And the liquid's just super, super easy. It's easy to put in water. It's easy to put on your tongue.
Yeah. I think it tastes great. I add it to my morning drink every day. I feel like I've had such amazing hair growth. My nails are stronger than they've ever been. My skin, I mean, everything. And it's, you know, hard to pinpoint like, oh, this exact thing, but I know it's made a difference for sure.
Right on.
So So guys, if you want to know what we're talking about, you want to get in on that goodness, you can go to Emily's BioRains page and check it all out. And then, of course, I just want to definitely thank my other sponsors, which is Jigsaw Health and Just Thrive. And any of the products I ever mentioned, you can go on to healthygutgirl.com, click on the shop page, and you can see what I recommend. And if I can offer you a discount, the discount will be there. And of course, I still promote and endorse Premier Research Labs products. And there's been a lot of signups from you guys lately, and I want to appreciate thank you for that. Appreciate you so much, because that is good stuff, still good stuff. And that is, that form is on that same healthygutgirl.com shop page. You can fill out for your own free account on there. All right, guys. Well, here's something we really wanted. We've been trying to talk about for a while, which is basically just poop.
Yes.
And pooping, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. So what I want to know, first of all, with the, let's talk about the enemas. Mm-hmm. When were you first introduced, Tanisha, to enemas?
Oh my gosh. Right.
Not colonics, but enemas. Yeah.
Right. Starting out of, well, no, I have to say it was actually before I graduated college. So 2011 was when I did my first coffee enema.
And that your first enema totally, not just coffee.
Ever. But ever. Yeah. Like ever having anything up the chute.
Okay.
And it was so wonderful. I was so nervous. I was, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna make a mess everywhere. And it was the most gratifying thing I'd ever done. Mm. Oh, it was incredible.
There's nothing like your first enema. It's like your first enema.
There really isn't. There really isn't.
Well, I was introduced as a child, not to coffee enemas, but just to enemas. So it was not that pleasant for me. It was, you know, usually because I was very sick. I was constipated or I had a fever. And my mom, being, you know, in her own right, a medicine woman, would just give us enemas for any reason, particularly me, because I was always sick. So it was just like anytime she's like, what's wrong? I got a fever. Oh, enema. Oh, you sneezing? Enema. You know, it was just one of those things. And, but usually I wasn't well, and there's nothing worse than being constipated for a week as a child and then getting an enema. It's so uncomfortable. But I remember the relief, and I remember the clean feeling, and I remember the, you know, feeling better. And so when I got older and got reintroduced to the coffee enema, I was like on it. I was so game. I was like ready. I don't even remember the first time, because it was just, you know, it was just like every time. The first time was like every time. Just kidding. Gonna get creepy. Okay, you.
Oh, I love. I
well,
love
it is the opening day of Scorpio season. Just so that you guys know.
Today.
Excellent.
Okay, you the awesome. Scorpio in the house.
Hey.
Okay.
My first enema was a coffee enema, actually. And it was shortly after I found out about you, Healthy Gut Girl. And, you spoke about the benefits, how fabulous they are. And, I actually remember I had the house to myself, and I was like newly dating my now husband, but you know, we'd been together like 6 months, and I'm like, I need to do this on a day he's not in the house. And I bought the Premier coffee. I had a bucket. I had bought some distilled water. Like, I was ready for it. And I felt like a million bucks. I felt, like you said, that clean feeling, that energized feeling, but kind of like this, like almost like euphoria. I was like, wow. I just like, and that's when I started to realize like, wow, it's just, this is something here big. Mm-hmm. And,
So, did you have problems the first time? Did you have problems holding it, or just like any you of know, that? You were already a nurse though. Also.
I was a nurse.
So you weren't afraid of sticking things.
I was not.
That's the problem. I think is a lot of people are like, I don't want to hurt myself with that applicator. Yeah, right. I hear that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I didn't have any issues. I was a little nervous about like retaining. I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get 32 ounces up there? There's no way. But it was fine. It went in, it stayed. And I was so committed to this enema. And I was like, I have one shot before like the house is full of my roommates again. So I did a lot of deep breathing. And that's when I really started to center, realize like my breath and my gut are like, huh, when I relax my breath, my gut calms down too. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have leakage. I didn't have any issues there, but I have since, you know, once you kind of go forward, but first time was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get the hang of it, you start to get a little too comfortable.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, when I first started doing them, I don't know if it was just because I was younger and my colon rectum sphincter was stronger. I don't want to think that, because I use it a lot. So I'm wondering if it's true. Maybe something changed because I literally could do an enema with two quarts. So, you know, with two quarts.
Awesome.
And then I would just go do dishes. Mm-hmm. Or I would like, we had one of those inversion tables.
Oh, yeah.
I was just on the inversion table.
Oh, totally.
The problem with the inversion table is I think that, you know, once you're really, really relaxed, and you two will know more about this than I would, I think, is that you, when you're really relaxed, the water can move further and get into the transcending colon and into the descending colon. And when it does that, I think you absorb more. And then when you absorb more, you can get caffeinated from it. I don't know exactly if the science behind that, but I just know that when I would go inverted, oh my gosh, I started standing on my head and things like that. And then I'm like, I would be too high after.
Yeah, it is different. So when I first started doing coffee enemas, I would just, you know, jump right into an enema. But then after, you know, maybe a year or so went by of doing that consistently, I would start opening up my lymph beforehand. Mm. So I'd get my workout in before, and granted, not everybody would have to do this, you know, but I would get my workout in before for like an hour, get my blood going, get my lymph moving, and then do an enema. Well, then I transitioned into just using a vibration plate, which is a very inexpensive one for people to integrate in. Wow. And I would vibrate for 10 minutes on like high intensity and in different levels, and then do the enema, and that changes everything.
Wow. That's awesome.
I want one of those vibration plates.
You know, I've had a colonic before where the gal did tuning forks and like would hit it and then like stick it on different pressure points on your abdomen. What? And oh my God, some of the best colonics I've ever had. Like, just like, I don't know if it's just, yeah, the energy, moving things, yeah, breaking things, yeah, up. It's powerful. So yeah. I haven't done the vibration stuff. Tanisha, maybe you can tell us more about,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I had an experience when I was liver flushing, and this is why my liver flush became the Andreas liver flush mix, like modified with my changes in it, because I discovered that the coffee enemas were so effective with the liver flush. Mm-hmm. And then I had one of these, or I have one of these thumpers that are like, you know, what are they? Mine's called a Phoenix. It's like got the, it looks like a gun. And it's like,
oh, yes, yes, like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Like, and it's the not, it, yes, the Theragun. Thank you. Yeah. And this thing is no joke, right? Like, you will get bruised. And I was using it on my liver point. And I passed the largest gallstone, wow, ever. It was, I've posted pictures of it. It was easily this big, and it was solid. Like I, of course, you know, you have to capture some of these things with a plastic, yeah, spoon, please, friends.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to tell you what happened next.
Okay. So then I get this thing out of the toilet, right? I put on a paper towel, and you could literally go like this to it. You could put, like, that's how hard this thing was. It was like, ding, ding, ding. Oh, and okay. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I feel like that put like 5 years on my life.
Oh,
it, you know, it was just intense. It was in there blocking, could potentially cause a, you know, gallbladder attack. Sure. I could have lost my gallbladder someday because of that one thing in there.
Right.
Incredible. But the thumper, the vibration really, really helped. What are you giggling about, Tanisha? Tell us.
Okay. So... this past week, and knowing that this podcast was coming up, I was like, oh my gosh, is this like another divine appointment? I think it is. So I started salt flushing again. And I've been salt flushing for consistently with maybe a 6 month break for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It is that one thing that has really impacted my bowel movements, digestion, all these wonderful things, clearing out acne that I had for a long time. But I love salt flushing because it is that, it's literally like an internal colonic without having to go get one done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing.
So in this past week, I'm trying to find the photo.
Yes.
I'm gonna die. Not really, but I haven't seen anything come out like this in a really long time. Let's see, here we go. Find it. And so basically I had two giant worms consecutively day to day here.
Oh my gosh, where is it? Well, while you're looking, so that's a good segue into things that come out, which is like, you know, I've had, of course, I have a photo album in my,
Oh God.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it does, especially serious. You can't see my cursor, especially in the right under the fork area.
Yeah.
To the left.
Look at that beast.
So my concern about this, so here's what I want to say. So that's amazing. That's epic. That's the kind of stuff you want to get out, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I've had so many different, like I said, I have a photo album of years and years and years of clients and people sending me things. Pictures and the intestinal worms are like, if I don't know, you guys are the colon hydrotherapist, you guys can tell me, but I remember Dr. Marshall saying a lot of times it's either candida, like strands of candida that wrap up into the intestine and follow the grooves inside the intestinal wall. Yeah. And so when it comes out, it can look very wormy like, but it's actually candida and or a mucoid plaque or both. Right. And then I saw at the actual worms and they were live, different ones that were live, and they were incredible. They were horrifying. And everything from roundworms to hookworms to tiny little pinworms and to tapeworms, which are very, very big, can be very, very big. And the roundworms were, or I think it's the hookworm, which also looks like a roundworm, but it has a different mount face on it. Mm-hmm. And those were more common and they looked a lot like what you just showed, except for alive. And mm-hmm. that was, and sometimes the dead ones can look like the one you just showed, but it's hard to know for sure. So
it is. And I've looked these ones up and they look closer to what's called a rope worm.
Okay.
In a rope worm, there's controversy.
Yeah, because aren't those just in dogs or animals?
That I don't know. I have no idea about that. If it is, well, guess what? We've got someone here.
Yeah.
But with the rope worm, there's a lot of controversy if it's in fact an actual worm, like what we're talking about, like with all worms, mm-hmm. or is it bound up mucosal lining that is finally allowed to shed but has just been wrapping itself around for so long?
Yeah.
I've opened it before. Mm-hmm.
You assayed it. You're like, you dissected it.
Yes. I just love to do that. Like, show me your poop. I'll dig through it. Yeah. But it looks like an
organism.
Critter. Yeah.
Well, for sure, I've had, you know, I had a couple of clients who had, I had one client that I, in the beginning of my practice, when I didn't really know much about worms, and she just kept coming to me and we were doing a parasite cleanse. And so we're like, wow, it's working. Look at this. But it was ongoing. It would not stop. And sometimes they were like this, like, you know, 2 feet long and had things attached to them, like, you know, look like gallstones and stuff. And, you know, I was like, what is going on? And so I went to Dr. Marshall and took him all the photos and stuff. And he was like, you know, as many photos, he said, it's one thing if you found one or two, but the fact that you keep coming up with these photos, this would be a massive infestation. This person would not be walking around. She was a stunt woman. She would not be working and healthy and looking the way she looks, even though she was struggling in many ways. He's like, this would be a full-blown infestation, and that would be very difficult for this person to be standing. And so I started to learn that way. So a lot of people will send pictures of that, which looks different from what you just showed. Yours looked like a full-on
plump
organism. Yeah. And so it's terrifying, but at the same time, you know, I've done so much research in this area regarding how a lot, you know, we all have them. And that there's this harmony that we live with them, right? So as you both have a colon hydrotherapy background, right?
Yeah.
So tell me what made you go that direction, Tanisha, besides you enjoy digging through people's poop.
Well, like you, I had a really poor childhood in health. My mom was always that girl to write me a letter going into school to my teacher because she would have to basically shove things into my body in order to have a bowel movement. You know, I would go one time every few days and was self-intoxicating. And so, you know, when I was 19 and did start to take my health to the next level, that just made sense as, you know, being a part of it. Yeah, going to school, doing all these things, but actually being able to address something that is internal and help program the body and give relief is like, you get your brain back. If you're not having a bowel movement every day, at least one, but obviously you want two, right? Mm-hmm. And three, wow, you're really good. Mm-hmm. But for that person that doesn't, and their brain just starts backing up, my face will start swelling. My whole body goes into balloon mode.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you went and pursued that and how about you, Emily?
You know, I got my first colonic shortly after I moved to Southern California. And it was like a very random conversation with a friend who was like, oh, I got a colonic recently. It was amazing. And I was like, huh, okay, I'm interested. I'll try it out. I had my first colonic and it was, I cannot even begin to explain how much stuff I passed. So much stuff. It was like, I'm a pretty thin young lady, but you could see my bloat, my lower abdominal, like I could see my abdominal muscles again. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had just, I felt like I ran a marathon when I was done. And I realized that that's a very common experience for somebody mm-hmm. who's passing all these toxins and working hard. It's hard work to eliminate that much garbage. Mm-hmm. And I left that colonic office and I was like, holy cow, there's something here. And then it was shortly thereafter, I was really depressed at work. I was working in cardiovascular surgery at the time and I just wasn't happy. I was feeling really stuck. And I was like wandering around Anthropology one day and I was like, what do I want to do with my life? And it literally felt like the clouds parted and it just came to me and I was like, I need to do colon therapy. So I went home, hopped online, figured out the International Association of Colon Therapy, found a teacher. And like 2 weeks later, I was enrolled in classes and it was like wow. Everything. And I knew. And so, you know, nursing continued to like pay my bills. I was working per diem. So making a bit more money than a regular staff nurse, but I didn't have like health insurance and things like that. So I would do my 3 days a week at the hospital and then another 3 days at the office. And it was just that it was so amazing. And wow. So just like personal experience of feeling the benefits. And then I'm like, I have got to do this. I have to teach people.
So for those, cause I know I still have a lot of listeners who are either maybe haven't even heard about colonics or don't really know what they entail, but I know that there are a lot who have heard, but are still like leery about it. So can you explain how a colonic works, a closed system, which is the more common one, colonic yes. works?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically the client gets on the table, it's usually a massage table. They, you know, roll over onto their left side and a closed system colonic, you use a speculum and it's about a half an inch in diameter, maybe a little bit more. And that always scares people. They're always like, half inch, what? And I'm always like, you probably pass poops much larger than that. Like, especially my dudes, like my guys, they have really big poops. They just do. So I always tell people to relax anyway. And then it's inserted and I don't know how it is state to state, but I know in the state of California, the client has to do the insertion. So like I guide, but I don't insert. It's against mm-hmm. the rules. And so anyway,
so
it gets
even
in.
As a nurse, you can't.
No, because in the colonic office, I am not a nurse.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's no doctor overseeing me. So it would be practicing outside of my scope.
Okay.
So, anyway, the speculum goes in, you know, you obviously lube it up with some coconut oil or something non-toxic. And then, you connect the waste tube, which is a large tube on the very end, and then a skinny water tube that connects to a different part. And then you roll the client over. I usually secure it with a weight, like a, you know, a bean bag or like a small thing that's heavy, in a plastic bag, of course, in case there's any leakage. Mm-hmm. And then you turn the water on. And, you know, this is again, why you want to go to a colon therapist who is certified by IACT, who has been educated because, you know, a lot of my clients and a lot of the things that people are worried about is like bowel perforation or just anything you want to take a thorough history, all that stuff. So, you turn the water on and there it goes. You allow the release, you allow the colon to fill and then release when the client feels the urge to release. And you go on and on and on until 45 minutes or an hour or whenever the client's finished. So
about how many releases does a person get in one sitting? It varies, right? Because some people can't really take it or they don't really.
Yeah. I mean, even on the first round of doing a colonic, like my instructor had always trained us, you know, whenever you're having your client for the first time, you have to set the proper expectation that their first colonic is probably not going to be that wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, colonic. Like you're breaking through the wall of China. Mm. So you've got to, you know, you basically like when you go in, you get at least anywhere from 3 to 5 sessions and you book yourself out to stay consistent so that you can literally pound through everything that's accumulated there.
Totally. Because that is like impacted fecal matter is what we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Fecal matter. Hard. Like fecal matter that doesn't want to budge. Mm. And then at that point, the therapist can manipulate the colon by hitting the pockets to stimulate peristalsis and then have like this big come through and you feel like you're having like a liver dump.
Yes. And it's so amazing.
Yeah. And you can experience a liver dump while you're going through a colonic.
Can you have a bile purge?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You can. And you can big see time. It start going through. It's bright green gems. It's bright green. Just like they're coming through.
Yeah. Or like sometimes like the more toxic the person is, I find that's like dark, nasty, yellowish. Yeah. It's like you can tell. And the client at that point is usually feeling rather crampy. They're usually feeling like shit, basically, because you know, I always tell people detoxing doesn't feel good. So it's okay to feel like crap when you're eliminating toxins. Yeah. But like I have clients who they'll take two massive fills and that's it. And they, because those colons are, they've been doing it a long time and they have a really healthy diet or, you know, things like that. But yeah, then I have clients who can take 30 seconds or less of the water and then they have to go. It's kind of like training the colon to retrain it to have peristalsis or retrain it, you know, to have that muscle tone. Things like that.
So for the listeners, you know, you don't take the tube out and release, you actually release back into the tube and then it goes through that tube through. And what you're looking at is like, there's a clear,
view tube.
There's a view tube on the wall and you can see what's coming out. And that's really gratifying in so many ways.
It is.
I mean, I remember my very first colonic who is Lou Walker is the person who, Loretta Walker, who she administered it and she's in Santa Monica. And I'm bringing her up because everyone should see her if you live in the West Side and of LA. And she, Loretta Walker at Bodies Alive, B-O-D-Y-Z Alive. And she's just this older woman who is just like, she's beautiful. She's really slender. She looks like a princess from Africa, like a queen from Africa. She's just so elegant. And she's really, she cut like channeling abilities and spiritual. She's right where she needs to be. She's so good at this stuff. And so I'm laying there and she goes, girl, you don't chew your food.
Yep.
I was like, that was a whole piece of broccoli.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
And the, you could see like, you know, actual, especially vegetable matter, because, you know, my HCL production and my digestive enzyme capacity back in those days was so bad. And I just wasn't digesting. And so that stuff would just come out practically whole. It's crazy.
I want to just tell a quick story. One of my clients, so at this office I used to work at in Costa Mesa, we would do this cleanse. It was an 8-day cleanse with, you know, whole food supplements, bentonite clay, psyllium, colonics, and like green juice, basically. And you're getting, by like day 4 or 5, you're getting massive amounts of mucoid plaque. Like people are like, I'm not eating food. How am I passing 10 feet of poop during my colonic? And that's when I'm like, oh, toxins, pulling, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. Anyway, I had a gal, young gal, she's my age, had a ton of corn. And we saw corn every day of her colonic. And she's like, I'm going to be done with corn. And I'm going to do another cleanse in 6 months. So she comes back 6 months later, hasn't had a moment of corn. Oh, we were still getting corn out of her. And I trust her. She was like committed. Because, you know, seeing the stuff come out of you, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And a lot of people like don't want to see it because they're like, ew, that's gross. But I swear, that's when people change their mind about their guts, their health, their digestion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's everything. People need to look.
Oh yeah. We have definitely. A visual confirmation.
Come on. We have visual confirmation.
Visual on the undigested corn from a year ago. Oh my
gosh.
10-4. Yeah.
I mean, people laugh about that stuff, like, you know, peanuts and corn and things like the seeds and things. But the reality is that is why people say you shouldn't eat corn and you shouldn't eat seeds and you shouldn't eat, because a lot of these things are really, really hard to digest.
Totally.
And so you have to make sure, like when you're doing flaxseed, when you're doing sesame seeds on the seed cycling for hormone balance, you know, you got to make sure you have upregulated digestion. Cause if you don't, you're just, you know, either you're storing it, right?
Right.
Or you are just passing it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like what you say, Catalina, when you're like, you're not just what you eat, you are what you eat and absorb. Mm. Like, it's not enough to just eat food. You have to be absorbing it. So enter gut health, enter digestive enzymes, enter HCL, you know, enter stress reduction, chewing your food, whatever.
All of that.
Life, like supporting the basics of life to upregulate all the things that go wrong.
Yeah. So imagine if you aren't passing, something as simple and water filled as corn, but you're taking a Centrum one a day, or you're taking some kind of heavy laden, you know, pressed vitamin from Whole Foods or Trader Joe's.
Or Costco.
It's not happening. Happening.
Dr. Marshall was so adamant on that, you know, 1,000 tons of pressure to even try to break down a tablet. So imagine what the body has to do to break that down if it doesn't even have the ability to fight a common cold.
So that's what it's about. It's like, are you absorbing? And well, now I feel like I have to go. I've not had that many colonics, actually. I always felt a little bit like some people are better colonic receivers than others, but sure. That's is that true, or is that me just making that up?
I don't think so.
Maybe the more consistent you are with it, like people, for example, who do it one coffee enema a year, versus, or maybe somebody who's not consistently salt flushing, like in the beginning when you salt flush, so many people won't have a release until day 3 to 5 because they're so deficient in quality sodium that the body has to build up that reserve to then let go. But if somebody has that false expectation, oh, it didn't work on the first time or the second time, well, get your body back to the basic level and then let's see what happens.
Exactly.
Right. Maybe it's like that, you know.
And I also, I always like to tell people too as well, like when you're working on your gut health and you know, basic maintenance, you know how your car, like you have to get the oil changed or else it will die on you. That's what the colon is. You've got to do some kind of cleanse. I mean, I love a colonic, but you know, and you're right. Maybe it's different for people who like, you know, if you're regularly doing your coffee enemas or you're having 2 or 3 really high quality poops a day, like somebody like that might not reap the same benefits as somebody who's got really sluggish, a really sluggish gut or really poor peristalsis or really poor digestive fire, you know?
Interesting. And then, well, maybe I should probably go again and just do get a package and just, I don't even know if you can do that right now in LA. Colonics.
Don't know, but if you can't, you can salt flush or coffee.
So tell us what a salt flush is, Tanisha.
Oh my gosh, they are my favorite. They are. So it's one teaspoon. I was going to say tablespoon. Don't do a tablespoon. It's one teaspoon. And of course, I use Dr. Marshall salt, air dried pink salt, Hawaiian Mediterranean blend.
No love heat. That salt.
One teaspoon in a whole quart of warm water. And you chug-a-lug it. And within 30 minutes to maybe an hour, maybe longer, depending on, you know, somebody's body, you will have a flushing response. And that flushing response is simply a lot of fecal matter and contents and material and water flushing out from your colon. And it's one of those things. It actually, for me on a daily basis, feels like a coffee enema every day. The moment that salt flush takes place, it's like, my eyes are better. My brain is turned on. I can be in a better mood. I actually feel like my adrenals are properly supported. I can manage the day just differently because all the contents have been released from whatever needs to be coming out.
Well, I will say that there are two, I guess, cautions. One is that, well, you mentioned it earlier. One is like if somebody doesn't have a salt flush, and then it's not two cautions, one caution, but a reason why that could be happening is because you are deficient in salt, you have adrenal fatigue, or you have some adrenal taxation, like your cortisol you have issues with adrenals. Cause we know that the adrenals need at least like a teaspoon of salt a day anyway. And that's just the adrenals. Yeah. And so a lot of people will do, a teaspoon of salt in a whole quart of water and won't have anything. And that, like you said earlier, is the reason why. And then the other reason is, and I think people need to just be keen on this, is if you have any kind of major kidney problems, it's probably not a good idea to do a salt flush. Yeah. If you swell after you do a salt flush and you don't pass that water, you might be, it might be a burden on the kidneys to be doing that. And especially if the edema is like, you know, like bilateral, like with both hands or both feet swell. Now we're talking about, So if you have like kidney stuff, kidney stone, stuff like that, I would say don't do the salt flush. Everyone else, get to it. In fact, now I think I'm going to do that for how many days do you do it in a row? Five, you said?
Honestly, right now, I'm probably 3 weeks in every day.
Oh, wow. And what time do you do it?
First thing in the morning.
Okay. So you got to be home. Okay.
You got to be home. And then once you have your elimination, maybe your first few times, if you've never done it before, for somebody who might be listening, you'll be able to see how your body calendars with that. Mm. Okay. Am I going to have another flush later? Like, for example, coffee enemas. When I have a release from a coffee enema, an hour later, always on the money, I have a sac that comes out.
What?
Yes. Ooh. It's crazy. And that happened.
A sack of.
The sack worms, of the unhatched worms.
It literally. Oh, looks God. Like, no, seriously. I have opened those up before and there are little worms in
Stop.
It.
Stop.
I've seen that too.
And they're red.
I have not seen that. Is that like a nest?
Mm-hmm.
You guys, this is horrible.
It is.
I don't even get, you know, I've been doing this for a while. That sounds crazy.
Well, and that's the crazy thing. Cause I like think about it. I'm like, okay, literally 3 days ago, I had two giant worms come out of my bottom. And I'm like, how long have I been working on my health for? And
exactly. This is still,
and that's just, again, you know, it never stops. It doesn't ever stop in a good way. It gets
in
better.
In a good way.
Yeah. It's one of the, it's again, you're going to go buy a car and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You got one body. You
it's like it. We clean our homes. We clean our cars. We do everything to maintain the world around us. And yet our inner world, I mean, it needs so much attention. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to salt flushes really quick. Question for you, Tanisha. So I actually recently had a hair tissue mineral analysis done. Mm. I know, amazing. I have really thin hair anyway, and I have like four little bald spots back here now. So
oh gosh.
I know, it's not working great. Anyway, I found out I'm severely low in sodium. Mm-hmm. So I am actually doing a teaspoon of salt in my water, having some loose stools, but not like a massive release at all. So do you think that could be, oh, and I was diagnosed with severe adrenal fatigue, like so severe that my cortisol isn't even blipping on the graph, not even.
Oh,
so,
wow. Was that saliva?
Dutch test.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Oh my God. Worth every penny. Loved it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she was like, my nutritionist, she was like, you really need to support your body with high quality salt. So my question for you is, could I need more if I'm already taking that teaspoon and I'm not having like a massive release like I should? Is my body just that deficient that it's just like, yes, thank you, salt. Thank you. Like
I would add in, if it were me, I would add in a whole extra teaspoon of salt to just my food through the day or even just in my water as I'm drinking it through the day.
I salt liberally everything. And I don't even mind. I minded the taste a little bit at the beginning. It's like drinking the ocean. But now it's kind of like, you just do it.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, you're a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can, the warmer your water is, because I've done cool and I've done warm and I've done like hot before. Mm-hmm. The warmer your water is, the more of a flush response you'll get if you're having a challenge with it.
Okay. Cool.
So well, something about the hair mineral analysis is that's interesting. And, you know, Dr. Selig, who I've had on my podcast multiple times, who's amazing at
reading.
I
love him.
Yeah, because a lot of times what people do with those tests is they just look at, oh, this is low, this mm-hmm. is high, let's give you some of that and not some of this. And what's happening with the sodium is that he talks a lot about, maybe you heard him talk about this, like when the sodium is low, you know, what that does to potassium,
yes.
and then what that does to your calcium shell, and what that mm-hmm. does to magnesium, and ultimately copper and iron, and then it's just this whole, like, this whole imbalance of things that happen. So people, you know, so one of the things that could be happening is that the salt just hasn't, you haven't really arrived at a place where the balance is able to affect all those other minerals. Yes. So it's still happening, you know?
And interesting.
That can, yeah. So maybe, yeah, just like, I think I'm going to do the same thing now that we're just sitting here talking about it is, you know, the salt, raising the salt. Cause that was my problem too. After all this time, I did my hair mineral analysis. I'm actually due for my next one. I we touched the back of our heads and we're like, yeah. But the funny thing is with mine is that I have so much hair that I don't even know, so like, I'm like, I can't even find where
it's so luscious.
Growing back. Oh no,
I'm like nervous for another retest. Cause I'm like, I can't, my ponytail is already so tiny. Like I can't.
Well, you could do, you could like grow your pubes or your,
yeah, my armpit hair.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
Sorry, honey, for at least a month, I'm not shaving.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
But I think it does have to be all from the same place. If I'm not mistaken, right?
I think it does.
That's crazy. The hair mineral analysis, if I had more hours in a day, I think I would commit it to learning how to really, really work with the hair tissue mineral analysis. Mm. Because I think it's super effective and I think it gets to the root cause of a lot of people's issues because you can be doing so much work for so long and not really know what the crux of the matter is for you. Mm-hmm. And some, you know, yes, okay, gut, right. But specifically if you are deficient in healthy salt, but you have these other imbalances, just taking up the salt is not going to be enough.
Right? Exactly.
So yeah. Okay, so the pink salt flush, that's a good one. And then, oh, you said, right, we have to encourage our bodies to detoxify. And I fully agree with that. And I don't know that, I think in historically, people did that through fasting because fasting elicits a detox.
Yeah.
But I think now we're so much more exposed to toxicity that we never were that... Mm-hmm.
I know. I love Dita.
Little butt shakes in the background. So anyway, she needs her own soundtrack following her.
Ba-boom, she ba-boom, does.
Ba-boom. She's going to do a salt flush right now. Sorry.
But that I have given a few dogs coffee enemas, by the way.
Oh.
But anyway, is that, you know, we're so inundated. Our toxic burden bucket is so full that I think encouraging detoxification is like such a great idea. Mm. Okay. What else?
Be so extreme. It can be so gentle.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the coffee enemas, you know, we have the peristalsis, coupled with improving motility, right? Improving peristalsis, but also helping to encourage the production of glutathione in the liver, which is then, of course, great for hormone balance, eliminating toxicity throughout the whole body. When I was blown away when I read Gerson, I was studying Gerson, and I was like, what they were originally using it for was not to cure cancer, but what the coffee enema was originally used for was not to cure cancer, was not to clear the colon. It was because, and you guys know this, right? I guess it was World War I and they didn't have any anesthesia. They'd run out of any kind of pain medication for the soldiers that they were having to amputate or do surgery on. Mm. And all of the doctors were like staying awake on coffee. And they were also feeling like it was relieving migraines and tension headaches. And they were like, wait a minute, if we can administer this to the patients rectally and, you know, maybe it will help them. And so that's what they started doing. And that's where the whole concept came from, right?
So cool. So amazing.
Yeah. So that when I read that, I was like, wait a minute, what? So I started doing it specifically for pain. Like when I would have a back flare up or whatever happened, or a migraine, I couldn't believe it. It was like, and to this day, I'll say to Charlie, you know, I'll say, oh gosh, I really need to come in and see you. My back's really jacked. And he's like, oh, I'm booked for 2 weeks. And, I'm like, and I don't want to bug him when he comes home. So I'll, that's okay. I'll just do a coffee enema. And 100% of the time it makes it go away.
Game changer.
Yeah. It is a game changer.
You know, when I heard, Dr. Marshall forever ago talk about doing coffee enemas on a menstrual cycle to help relieve, you know, cramping and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
It was definitely helpful for those times for sure. Yeah. I mean, look, there's not anything that a coffee enema can't address. Let's be
no. Fair. Although I will say that sometimes when people have high histamine reactions and responses,
yeah. Oh, yes.
can trigger a histamine yeah. reaction. Sure. That sucks. I don't know what to say about that, except you got to address that histamine problem, and that's yeah. going back to the gut. Yeah. What do you say about colonics and any contraindications or even any enemas at all?
The only one, oh, go ahead, Em.
Oh, no. All good.
The hemorrhoids. Those are really challenging.
Hemorrhoids, yeah. Like internal hemorrhoids especially. Yeah. Okay. I mean, any recent abdominal surgery, pregnancy is a hard no.
Yeah.
Any history of like congestive heart failure where, you know, absorbing too much water could, you know, be a detriment to you.
Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't even think about that. Wow.
There are some hard stops. I'm happy to text you guys those. They're very interesting, but like recent,
maybe we'll put them text them to me and we'll put them in the show notes. Cause yeah. that's really, and I can add them to my program because that's something I didn't know about the congestive heart failure. And what about, what would you say about, I know you have to go soon, right, Tanisha?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. What would you say about, colon cancer. That's a tricky one, right? Because as badly as someone with cancer needs them, you wouldn't.
Or to your doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those situations, you know, get the approval from your doctor. The same thing, for people who are going to get colonoscopies, they can get the approval to, instead of drinking the toxic material, they can go through a series of colonics days before the colonoscopy in order to avoid toxic ingestion.
I have done that. Not for me personally, but I've assisted a couple clients who chose not to do the go lightly, you're right, which is poisonous and gross and ugh. And their colonics were completely clean. They did like a juice fast or like the day of, or the day before, no solid food, just clear liquids and like healthy juices and such. But, and just being really diligent about like lots of fiber beforehand, getting the colonics every day. I mean, and as it relates to colon cancer, I mean, obviously prevention is best. I mean, and we do know that like the sigmoid colon, which is the site of the colon that tends to be the most common place for getting cancer, that's the part of the colon that the oldest waste in our body is sitting for the longest period of time. So I'm going to have to go get my facts exactly right, but I know that there was some research done by a doctor who was really interested in learning more about colon therapy, went to some remote parts of the world where they don't have any incidence of colon cancer, not like some incidence, but like literally no incidence. Mm-hmm. And he found that these people are pooping 4 to 5 times a day. These people are eating roughage and not consuming, you know, garbage like a lot of Western cultures do.
Yeah.
And the theory is that poison, that toxic waste isn't sitting on the wall of that delicate tissue in that sigmoid colon. Mm-hmm. So maybe that has something to do with it. So, I mean, but if you're an active cancer, refer to your doctor and
prevention.
Fascinating. Prevention.
Make lifestyle changes now and clean up that colon.
Yeah.
I would like to, as we wrap up, I'd love to give my top 5 tips for keeping the colon happy.
Okay.
I can't remember if I said this during our last talk, but it was so long. We covered a lot of ground in that last episode. Uh-huh. But the 5 F's to constipation: your fluid, fiber, fitness, flora, and high quality fats. Ooh. So check all those boxes, you know, getting half your weight in water every single day, you know, high quality spore-based probiotic, eating your healthy fats, moving your body. The colon loves a walk, and you know, some yoga stretches, like especially the twisting action is lovely for the colon. And, what was the last one? Fiber? Fiber. Lots of fiber.
Oh, wait, I missed one. Fitness, fluid, flora, fiber.
Fats.
And fats.
High quality fats.
Oh, yes. Nice. I love that.
Fun?
Yes, that is fun. Well, you guys, thank you so much for this this brief but awesome that people are going to love. I'm going to have to put explicit on there. Just
for in multiple departments.
Yeah. And friends, you will leak. You will make a mess sometimes.
Yes.
It's not a big deal. Do it in the bathtub if you have to. But, you know, get over it. get into it, learn to love it, because it's really gonna
learn
sort
to
you
love
out.
The mess of it. Because yeah, it's really messy time. I had a messy event just 3 weeks ago, and I've been doing them for how long?
Yeah.
Yeah, and getting comfortable with your body too. And like kind of mm-hmm. like, I feel like the body will tell you what it needs. And like some days, 5-6 minutes with my coffee enema and I'm done. I just can't yeah. do it.
Same.
And yeah. then other days I can hold it for 45 minutes and it's amazing. Yeah. But you know, the body is just always giving us signs and signals if we would yeah. like listen to it. So
I find like when the moon is waning to a new moon are my best mm-hmm. and I do them closer to like 3 or 4. I have great, those are great. Wow. And then when the moon is waxing to full, I usually just don't even go there because I don't even
wow.
do it. Because I just don't want to, I want to retain mm-hmm. on the way to the full moon. I
exactly.
want to retain. And then the new moon, I want to shed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a waxing, no waning. If anyone's curious about when they want to try to do them or not do them. Anyway, check out healthygetgirl.com. You can look on all my recommendations. I have an online liver flush program called the Liver Detox Guide. What's your email, Emily?
EM, like Emily, at emilyannwoodward.com is my email address where you can reach me.
Awesome. Tanisha?
Mine is Holy Humans, and that's a WHOLLY humans with a Z at Gmail.
Nice. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This is so fun. I learned so much from you guys every time. Thank you for everything.
Awesome.